at that time when I was prepping, for me it was like I was more excited about, gee, I've got abs. Do you know what I mean? I seriously couldn't believe, like, 5 months with full on hard work and dedications and stuff, I was more excited about seeing my abs.
For many years, thousands of Nepalis have been moving overseas with the hopes of a better education, job, and lifestyle. Some find success in conventional fields, while some carve their own paths. Who is to say one is better than the other? Success is a journey, not a destination. So come on this journey with me, where we connect with our Nepali communities living overseas and explore their conventional and unconventional paths. My name is Sankalpa Gurung, and this is Hamro Yatra.
And welcome to the fourth episode of Hamro Yatra. Today we are joined by Prash Resta, pro sport and fitness model. Currently living in Sydney, Australia, Prash Resta entered the world of bodybuilding only 5 to 6 years ago. But in the short span of time, she has already made a mark. She has placed gold and silver in multiple competitions, both within Australia and overseas. She has placed 5th in the world during INBA PNBA World Championship in Budapest 2016 and then went to place 4th in the IFBB Asian Championship that took place in Mongolia 2017. And these are just a few of her accomplishments. Prash Resta is certainly strong, but her strength transcends her physical attributes. She believes in putting in the hard work without any expectations. Her determination and focus is commendable. In this episode, we will go over her journey into the life of bodybuilding, what it takes, and the thing that counts the most, mindset. As always, if you enjoy these conversations, please share with your friends and family the screenshots you've been sharing with key insights on the episodes and tagging us at hamro.yatra on Instagram truly make my day. So thank you and keep them coming. Welcome to Hamro Yatra, Pradi. Thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm super excited. So thank you for the opportunity.
You're the first person that I've interviewed who's been into like bodybuilding and stuff. So I'm like super excited to just get more into your journey as well.
Thank you.
So let's start with some fun questions. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
You know what? If I have a superpower, then I'm a very emotional person. And I would change a lot of things that's happening in the world at the moment. And especially, you know, what's in regards to the women rights and like rape and, you know, the poor educations for the kids and stuff like that. So if I have a superpower, then, you know, blink of an eyes, I would change those, you know, things for like more education for the poor people and maybe more respect for the women and stuff like that.
Mm. If you could have any cuisine for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Cuisine. Momos.
Oh, yes. You're a person after my heart.
100%.
Every day.
You can't go wrong with momos. Momos like 24/7. You know, it doesn't matter where you go. Easy to make. And you can literally have 100 momos over time with your friends and family. So momo is all the way.
Definitely. I remember this time when I was studying in the States and I went home and I just craved momos so much that my mom was like, okay, I'm going to feed you so many momos that you're going to get sick of it. And I had momos like the entire day, like dinner, the next day, lunch, breakfast, dinner, and again the next day, and I was still not over it. I was like, I can still have it.
Yeah, 100%.
If you could go back into any Nepalese like historical moment, go back in time, what would it be?
You know, like I've always into dancing. Mm-hmm. And so if I would go back in, you know, 19, like back in centuries, then probably I would be more focusing on the classical dancing.
Yeah. Learn from the masters.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you've made such a big mark in the bodybuilding world representing Nepal and Australia. But before all this began, who was Prash Resta? How were you as a child?
Do you know what? It's so funny because when I was thinking about it, okay, well, how are the interviews going to be like what are the questions I'll be asked? And then I started thinking about all the stuff from day one till now. God, I was like, before the Prashrastha was just a very not a simple girl. I was a very out there girl, so I didn't have any much vision in my life at that time. You know, I would get up, go to work, and then come home and get together, friends would party. I didn't have any much visions. I was just going with the flow. So it was just a basic life that I was that I was basically living back in those days. Having said that, I wasn't happy with my life, anything, but I didn't have much motive, like just a basic life I was doing. So Prashrastha is pretty like a basic person at that time.
Yeah,
I would say.
I think you did your HSC in Tassie.
Yeah.
But before that, how did you end up in Tasmania?
So in Nepal, so I was actually halfway. I was halfway through studying in Galaxy Public School.
Okay.
I finished my year 10, and after that, I was studying in Galaxy. I finished year 11 in Galaxy. So what was happening is at that time I wanted to change, like in Nepal, you know, there was so much pressure, like there was sort of like a tension, a personal tension was happening in my house, just to be very frank, right? So I just wanted to get out. I just wanted to get out, and I just needed some breathing space. And plus, I want to pursue my study as well.
Yeah.
So when I was just applying for the visa at that time, and I didn't know that I would get it. But I think, I guess, compared to now, you know, there is Asians and stuff like that now, where it's much, you know, you don't have to do much. But back then, you literally have to do everything by yourself. So for me, it's more to, you know, I was, like I said, I wanted to pursue with my study, and plus, you know, there was I just wanted to get out from all the issues that I had back in home ages ago, and that's how it's all started. And non-existent, and you know what, the funny thing is that I never wanted to come to Sydney at that point of time, because when I was in Nepal, mind you, I came to Australia back in 1996, right? So it's been
so very completely different.
It was a long time back. So 1996, and so visa issue wasn't there at the time, because I think a lot of people, you know, I mean, right now we have a very large volume of Nepalese students, right? But back then, there was a lot lesser. So it wasn't hard for me to get the visa. So, and then I never wanted to come to Sydney. But at the same time, Sydney didn't have a good reputation at that time, because people were like working a lot rather than studying, right? And my parents, my mom and dad, like, you know, you are going to study, so make sure that you choose a proper place to do that. And then Launceston came in my head, because I don't know, like I've never heard of Launceston in my entire life, except for, like, you know, we think that Sydney is like, even like when you come to Australia, like, what's Australia? It's more like a Sydney rather than Australia.
Yeah, you never think about going to Tassie or anywhere else.
So I decided, because when I was going through all the pamphlets and everything, and then Launceston had a very good, you know, scoring in regards to the schooling. And then when I presented to my mum, and had to convince her, and then that's how it's all started, going to Launceston. And I finished my HSC, and the rest is the history, right? So HSC, and then and then I had to come back to Sydney to finish with my to pursue with my further study. So I finished I was graduated in the multimedia, bachelor in multimedia. I finished that. And then after that, since I've been working nonstop. So that's, so it's been a very long time. So 26 years? I think it's 26 years. Yeah, so basically you could say that like half of my life I grew up in Australia. Yeah.
You mentioned that you came to Australia in 1996. Things would have been very different to what it is now. How was your transition from coming from Nepal to Tassie and then doing HSC? Did you have any challenges then?
Oh, heaps of challenges. Heaps of challenges. You know what? When I came to Australia, there's no one here. You know, when I was in Tasmania, there was a couple of like two or three Nepalese guys. And that's all. And I literally had to do everything by myself. And there weren't any jobs, anything like that. It was so hard as well. So I literally had to do everything by myself. I didn't have anyone, and I really, really worked hard for that. And so I was in Tasmania for 2 years where I didn't have any proper job. I was just working in like a small customer's, like in a cafe for a couple of hours per day. And I literally have to think to eat or to buy anything. And Launceston is, and the only good thing about Launceston is, you know, everything is like right there. Like in Sydney, for example, if you, you know, have to go to the city, then you have to catch a train to go to the city, depending where you're living, right? Yep. But in Launceston, everything's right there. Everything's 5 minutes. So, you know, I was saving the money like travel-wise, but in regards to the day-to-day activities that I have to do, I literally have to think twice to spend money because I was working like a couple of hours per day in the cafe, and it's such a small city as well. So I really, really, you know, worked hard for that. I, like I said, and then after coming to Sydney, and that's where I've got a proper job, and then, you know, did the uni, and mind you that the uni fees was, as you'd know, that was so expensive as well.
Yep.
But you know what, it's just funny, like when I go back, and then I, as I said, you know, I can't believe how far I've come, and, you know, for all the hard work that I did, and I'm so proud to say that, you know, I've got my whole family here now, so I've got my brothers, not because of me, anything like that, with all the journey that I had, all the struggle that I had. Now, you know, all the, you know, my family was in Nepal, and then I was all by myself here, but I was lucky now that I have my whole family here. My parents are here, my brothers and sisters, my nephews, and my partner is here as well. Yeah. So it's a lot of, you know, the back then and now, heaps different. Because whereas back then, you literally have to do everything by yourself without anyone's help. Yeah.
Now, from being into studying, when did you start going to the gym, and did you know right away that you loved it?
Do you know what? To be honest, like I was never a gym junkie or anything like that. I used to go to yoga and stuff like that just for the health purpose, right? Not because I wanted to lose weight or just because I want to become a bodybuilding or anything like that. I never started like that. Having said that, in the middle, you know, I did put on a lot of weight, and I was plump. I was like, I was at that time, I was 70 kilos. And mind you that I'm only 5'3 or 5'4, put it 5'4 rather than 5'3. So I was 70 kilos, and then I had to do something, and I had to do something at that point of time. And then I started working out. I started doing cardio. I started off with the slowly jogging. I still remember that I could never run before, and started with the jogging, and then I did that for a couple of years. So the result, I lost a lot of weight, and that's all. And after that, what happened is, you know, the life takes you life takes you to a different directions, right? You think that everything's all normal, and then so many issues in your life, and I just had to get away with that. So even at that point of time, before my bodybuilding journey started, there were a lot of things happening in my life, and I needed to change myself. And then I heard about the bodybuilding from Santos. So I'm pretty sure that you know Santos. So he has been competing for a long time. I mean, he's taking a break at the moment, which is, he's my partner now. So, but I'm just talking about at that time. So I heard something about bodybuilding. And then, you know, after having a chat with him, and he could see that how as I said, I started with bodybuilding just to focus on myself, to be honest, just to have that, you know, I need to get away from all the issues that I had in my life, and I just needed to focus. And you know what? I focused for 5 months. I didn't do anything, get up, go to gym, you need to have like a proper meal set as well, right? So that's it. That's all I had. So get up, go to gym and work, gym, get up. So I did that for a good five months, and that's how I competed. So it started to the bodybuilding is basically started to find myself, to get away from the issues that I had.
Wow. I guess that whole saying, when life gives you lemon, you just turn it into a lemonade.
Tell me about it. Because the thing is, like, when I was prepping for the competition, right, I didn't think about, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to win or anything. I seriously, I didn't. For me, like, I just needed to get away from all the issues that I had, and I just need to focus. And you know what? This bodybuilding has literally taught me that, my God, you know, I did it. You know, I did it, because with all the hard work and determination that I had for just on one goal, and they gave me a fantastic result. And that basically showed me that, oh, my God, I can do this, you know. And mind you, that, you know, bodybuilding and the competition is not that simple. So it is very, very hard. And when I go back and how I started, and basically, you know, I'm just like, gee, I have come a very long way.
Now tell us about maybe your experience preparing for your first competition. How was that?
Oh my God.
And how old were you when you started that as well?
Talking about the age, right? A lot of people, when we talk about the age, like, I was like, oh God, I came to Australia back in like 1996. Gee, I feel really old. But you know what? I didn't start at a very young age. Okay. So 30. So I started at 30. Hang on a second. I'm 33 or 34 years old at that time when I started. 5, 6 years ago. So probably, like, a lot of people will be listening to me now and be like, damn, you know, the Pradidi is such an old age. But that's okay. Age is just a number, right? So that's what I say. Like, age is just a number, and at least I can lift. even though, you know, I've got so many friends who are like 60 and 70 years old. They're still competing. And that's what I say. Like, age is just a number. So I started very late. It's not like I started when I was 20 years old or anything like that. I was, you know, 30 plus, put it that way, when I started.
Yeah. And did you have any fears or doubts at that stage?
Do you know what? To be honest, I didn't, because, you know, for me, as I mentioned to you before, that for me is, I just needed to get away from all the issues that I had. I just need to have like a focus on one goal. And I didn't think about I'm going to win. I didn't think about, you know, there will be a lot of other athletes with the younger age or anything like that. I didn't think about it, to be honest. And you know what? And this is the things I want to pass a message to everyone. Then we shouldn't think about it. Do you know, at the end of the day, it's all about you, what you can do. You know, because if you started thinking about, oh, you know, sometimes what happens is, like, when we are in the stage, and then, you know, you look at yourself, and then you look at the other athletes as well. And then there are sometimes, yes, there are doubts, like, oh my gosh, you look so great, right? And then it does happen. But then again, you know, you got to have that things in your head, like, you know, we should not be caring about what he or she looks like. You know, you just got to go and out there and do your best. And you know, regardless what results you will get.
There's this quote that I absolutely love. It's it says, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes.
And like but the thing is, when we're growing up, we're always made to compare ourselves, even with, like, within the family, right? You compare yourself with, like, you're compared with, like, your siblings or your cousins. So growing up, you have that mindset. And then when I came across this quote, I was like, that makes sense, because you feel good about yourself until, like, you see somebody else doing something a little bit better or different. And you're like, then you feel like deflated, because you're like, oh, I haven't done anything. That person's done so much better, right?
Exactly right. So that's why you know, I always say to a lot of people, I've got a small followers that they have been following for so many years, right? And then this is a thing that I want to pass the message to everyone, that you know, it's okay not to be okay sometime.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, it's you, right? How do you want to take your life, and where do you want to go? I mean, people can talk about it, people can suggest you, but at the end of the day, it's you. How do you want to take further with your life? So you just got to have 100%. A positive mindset and stop comparing to other people, because if you're going to start comparing to other people, then you can't move forward.
So walk us through how that experience was for you. You were focusing for 5 months. Then did you go into competing right away? Or how long did it take for you to prep for your first competition? What went through your head? How was that experience for you?
At that time, when I was prepping, for me, it was like I was more excited about, gee, I've got abs. Do you know what I mean? I seriously couldn't believe, like, 5 months were full on hard work and dedications and stuff. I was more excited about seeing my abs, and I was like, my God, you know. And then in my head at that time, it's like, you know, if you really put your head and hard work into your goal, gee, you can get the result. Mm. And, you know, I could see my biceps. I could see this all because I was so shredded. I could see my six pack.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, normally you don't get to see the six pack unless in the magazine. You know?
Yeah.
So I was more excited about that. And then another thing for me was just like getting into the stage. You know, and after that, all the prep, the another dream was for me, like, okay, so I'm here, so I'm ready, and I just need to go to the stage and do my best. So, and as I said, you know, I didn't think about the results, anything like that. And then, you know what, the funny thing is, like, when I was in the stage, and, you know, I didn't think that I'll be winning or anything like that. And there were so many girls who've been competing for so many years than me. And then when they mentioned my name in the stage, I was literally perplexed. Like, I didn't even know who's who. And it was like, they were calling my name 54. And then I was just like posing and smiling and stuff. And they literally have to call my name. So, you know what, that journey was pretty, you know, for me, it was more into, like, for me, it was more like, you know, getting to the stage and you know, not thinking about much about the results.
Mm. How does your day look like during your training session?
I would tell you, like, this is like, you know, a couple of years back, right? When I was prepping for the comp, and all I had was like get up in the morning and 4 or 5 hours. I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'll meet up with Santos because, you know, he's my coach, meet up with him. Yeah. And then in the gym for 4 or 5 hours, I go to my full-time job, finish it off with my full-time job. And mind you that I would have a meal prep in between. And do my meal prep, and after the full time job, meet up with Santos again at the gym, and then do for a couple of hours, go home, sleep. That's all I had, and that's how I prep for so many like times for my lot of competitions. Mm. Right now, to be honest, obviously, I was prepping for the comp this year as well, but, you know, because of the extreme situation that we have, which is a COVID-19, so everything has been postponed. But, like, this is before the COVID-19, so I was prepping for the comp. So my challenges were, mind you that I have so many commitments I have so many foods in my one plate, I'll put it that way. So I had had my comp prep. I was doing a comp prep, and I have a full-time job that I've been doing for 16 years of my life, right? And then I have my cafe. So I'm an entrepreneur for small, I told you, a small cafe as well, and plus the gym. So I had, you know, so 5 a.m. to 10 p.m., 10, that's how it starts, 5 a.m. in the morning, that I would get up, and I get home at 10 or 11 p.m. sometime.
Oh, my God. Where do you get this drive from? Because what you just mentioned to me, it's unbelievable, right? Like, for one person to keep doing day in, day out. It's not just you have a full-time job, you've got a cafe as well, then you're spending 4 or 5 hours in the gym. What gets you going?
What drives me? It's in the head. You know what? It's in the head. It's the mindset it's the mindset to balance the challenges. Because, you know, with all my experience that I had or have, the mind controls the body, right? And it's all in the mind. So if you think that, oh my God, I can't do it, then you can't,
yeah,
right? So it's all in the mindset. So I have set in my mind that, okay, so this is my goal. So my goal is to compete. So I want to compete once in a year. So my goal is to compete, regardless what result I'm going to get. And I want to become a successful in my current business as well, right? And at the same time, you know, I've got this 9-to-5 job. And mind you that we Nepalese are, you know, we are very hard worker. We can't muck around with our work. So yeah. I've got this 9-to-5 job as well. So in my experience, to be honest, you know, what I've utilized is the mind. Look, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm the perfect person, anything like that. And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, it's easy for me to say that it's all the mind and stuff like that. But if you just try and set that positive mindset in your head, you can.
Mm. Yeah, I think that speaks to a lot of people as well. Last year, I was in Copenhagen for work, and then the Copenhagen half marathon was going on. So I saw this blind old lady running the half marathon.
Wow.
And it just blew me away, because I looked at her and I said, if she can do it, so can I.
Exactly.
And like, I always thought like I would never be able to run. Running is not my thing. I hate running. And I realized that I hated running because I couldn't run.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I couldn't run because I never gave it a chance. So yeah, there was a lot of like underlying.
Yeah.
And then like the last 5 months, I just started from not being able to run for more than 5 minutes to being able to run for 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
And every time I run, I feel so invincible, because I'm like, wow, look at me now. Like past even just a year ago, if I told myself you'd be running for 2 hours straight, like it doesn't matter how fast or how slow, but if I'd be running for 2 hours straight, I'd be like, huh, you're kidding. I would never do that.
Yeah, exactly.
But here I was doing that. And it's like, wow, like it's all in your mind.
It's all in your mind. It's all in your mind. And obviously, you know, it's all in your mind. And also, you know, you've got to have a passion as well at the same time, and love for that passion and the mindset and determination and focus. And you know what, when you have these, you know, tools, you know, this will help you to push towards the challenges, any hurdles. So it's all in the mindset.
When you went into natural bodybuilding, it's such an unconventional field, right? So for a lot of people, even in 2020, I'd say, how was your response from your parents and your family?
When you come to the support, you know, I'm the luckiest girl in the world.
Oh, that's good.
I'm the luckiest girl in the world, because without the support, you know, I was saying to you before that bodybuilding is not simple. It is quite hard, because like I said, you know, bodybuilding is like you have to, you know, be in the gym for 4 or 5 hours, and you have to go on a strict diet. Strict diet meaning, mind you, that, you know, you can't have salt, you can't have sugar, and there are times that you can't even have water. So
wow.
Yeah, so it is very, very, you know, yes, that's what I'm saying. So this is, you got to have love in order to follow your passion. So bodybuilding is very, it can be very challenging. So you need the support for that. And if you don't have the support, it can be quite hard. So I'm quite lucky to have the support. And as I said, you know, my partner, Santos, he has been the biggest support system in my life. And without his guidance, without his support, I would not have come this far. And my family, and especially my mom, you know, and without her support as well, there's no way in the world that I would have done those, all the, you know, competitions. And mind you, like with the competition as well, I didn't only did the national comp. I went to overseas as well, did a lot of international comp as well. So support is the biggest thing that you need. That's why, like, you know, I would say to everyone, like, if anyone wants to follow the passion, like your daughter, brothers, sisters, please support them. You know, it doesn't matter, the passion could be small or big, but we need the support. And when you have a support, we can touch the sky. We can touch the moon. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm lucky. I'm quite lucky when, you know, because they've been always there for me to support my passion. Yeah, support my dream.
That's so good to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I remember, when I started going to the gym like a few years ago, when I was still in Sydney, I was really into lifting, not to the extent of like going to bodybuilding, just like lifting a little bit, and I felt stronger. And I tell my mom like, oh, I'm going to the gym and stuff. And the first thing she would say is, oh, make sure like you don't do too much, because then you'll turn into a man, or like, you know, all that stuff. And I'm like,
that's a concept. Like a lot of people, even my cousins, you know, even my cousins from Nepal, so when sometime I do a video chat, obviously they, you know, you know, I post a lot of, you know, lifting and stuff like that in the Facebook or Instagram. And my cousins, you know, they're like, oh, my God, you know, you look like a man and you've got to stop doing that. And, you know, it's just a mentality they have. That's something, you know, we can't change. But, you know, but it's okay. It's just, you know, a lot of people have a different opinions in regards to a lot of field, right? We can't change to that. But as long as, you know, as long as you know what you're doing and you have a proper support from your friends and family, that's all you need in your life. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all that matters as well,
Exactly right.
What does being strong mean to you?
You know what? When you think about the strong, like, it's such a powerful word, right? When you think about it, like, you know, so you just got me thinking, like, strong, like, gee, oh, I can lift. Does that mean that I'm strong? Actually, yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's such a strong, powerful word.
Exactly.
So now, just. You know, strong. And so when I think about it, all the stuff that I did and, you know, how far I have come, and also, you know, as a person, my answer to that would be, you know, I'm a strong, determined, hard worker and passionate, the love for the bodybuilding. Aim to have or vision to become a successful entrepreneur. That makes me strong. So that's a strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it can be. It is quite hard to, you know, explain, like, you know, strong. Mm. So think about yourself. Like, it's not only about, I'm just because I'm lifting these 200 kilos, I'm strong. It doesn't work that way, right?
Yeah, so I guess it's not just about your physical abilities. It's also the qualities and your mental capabilities that you have that makes you a strong person.
Exactly right.
So you've got a full-time job. You've talked about that. You've got so many different avenues that you're involved in. What does success mean to you?
That's another strong word as well, right? So when you think about the success. When you have a goals in your life, right? So success, like, for me, in all the experience that I had, so I would say, you know, success means to have a goal, to have the actual plans, to have the actual plan and plan the steps to achieve the goal. And basically, you know, implement the plan and finally achieve the goal. So success. So when you combine those everything, the success is the result of your hard work. That's what I think about success, right?
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. Because growing up, you think success is like buying a house or being a doctor or being an engineer, like, you know, but what we don't talk about is what happens after that.
Yeah.
So, like, you've reached that, then what? So it's not a destination. It's just this entire journey you have in achieving those smaller goals that makes you who you are.
Yes.
So I think the whole point of me doing this is, as well, is to understand what success means to other people, and hoping that it inspires, like, people who are listening as well.
Yes.
Because it's not set in stone. It's not something that we grew up back in Nepal saying, oh, like, Dr. Bayupachi, you're successful.
Yeah.
Like, that's your goal, right?
I know that's the things in our culture, right? That's something I think we need to change. That, you know, people think that, okay, for example, like, coming to Australia as well, you know, and I know that just a lot of people that I've met that've been in Australia for over 10 years, and they think that, oh God, you know, I've been in this country for 10 years, I haven't bought the house, and I haven't got the PR, or I haven't got the proper job. So we should not be thinking like that. So that's something we need to change, the, you know, mind in our culture. You know, that success is not only about that, you know. Success is basically, you know, you as long as you reach a goal, and then, you know, you have the plan to achieve those goals, and as long as you put the hard yard to those goals, and that means you're success, right?
So if you could give any advice to someone who's far away from home by themselves and are struggling to find their path, what would that be?
Don't give up. don't give up of anything that you want to do in your life. As I said, it's okay not to be okay. Don't put a lot of pressure to yourself. Just have a faith in yourself. Just make sure that you have the goal in your mind, and also, you know, just try to be strong mentally and physically. And just hard work without any expectations, because I know to the fact that, you know, once you hard work, your hard work will pay off eventually. You know, there will be a lot of hurdles in your life, right? But, you know, as long as, you know, you set your mind to achieve that goal, never give up, you know, and eventually it will come through.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time today, Pradi. It's been an absolute pleasure listening to your journey about everything that you've gone through and what you've achieved. I'm always inspired just looking through like your photos, and hopefully someone listening to this could be inspired too.
Thank you so much for having me. It was such a great chat. And the people who are listening, I just want to say to them that, you know, just be strong and never give up with your dream. And, you know, like sometime in life, as I mentioned before, a lot of surprises, you know, example right now, the COVID-19.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had so many plans this year. Mm-hmm. I had a plan to go to Nepal. You know, I was prepping for my competition. You know, you do that in your life, right? But, yeah, you know, when these things happen, it's okay. Eventually, you know, all the hurdles will go away. Just be strong and have a faith. And, you know, just whatever happens, happens for a good reason. That's what I say all the time. Stay strong. Yeah.
Well, thank you again so much, Dee, for your time.
Thank you so much.
I'm so gutted that I didn't get to come to your Momo Cafe when I was there in Sydney.
Well, it's not, you know, like UK to here is not that far, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'll be back again anyways.
Oh, fantastic. You're going to come. You're going to come to Sydney. Like, once everything's all okay, so come and visit me. I'll give you a hug as well. And some of our famous dishes, like momos. I think Keaton will tell you all about the...
Oh, my God. I'm like so hungry now.
Thank you so much, Sam.
Thank you. All right. Bye. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, we do.
If you enjoy listening to these conversations as much as I do, follow us on Instagram at hamro.yathra. Show us some love by taking screenshots of the episode you're listening to with any key insights and tag us. You know we'd love to hear from you. If you'd also like to support the show, hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts or follow on Spotify and leave us a 5-star review if you're feeling generous. Until next time.